Does the boss need to weigh in on the war in the Middle East? The New York Times, November 8, 2023, 10:40 a.m. Yet after reading the details of Hamas's attacks on Israel on October 7, Brad Karp, who runs the law firm Paul Weiss, sat at his computer and wrote a memo to his roughly 2,000 employees. He didn't ask the firm's spokesman to draft it. He channeled his grief into a company-wide email and hit send, just as he was moved to do after the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the killing of George Floyd. But as an American business leader condemning Hamas's attacks, he said, he felt surprisingly lonely. I was disappointed the fewer leaders than I anticipated spoke out emphatically, clearly and with moral clarity on this issue, Mr. Karp said. If you ask any of these leaders whether they were horrified by the slaughter of innocent civilians by Hamas, they would tell you privately that they were horrified. Company executives have, over the past month, faced a dilemma that they're by now well practiced in confronting, whether to engage with a large humanitarian or social issue, in this case the war between Israel and Hamas. This time, many say, responding with a public statement, internal discussion, donation or even social media parameters for staff members presents complexities that they have not experienced when wading into other recent social crises. If you release a statement about the damage of a hurricane, there's nobody who will say, actually the area of the country deserved the hurricane, said Yael Rybchin, a partner at the consultancy Elixir, who has advised dozens of Fortune 500 chief executives. More than 200 American businesses have issued statements condemning the Hamas attacks in Israel that killed roughly 1,400 people, according to a tracker from Jeffrey Sonnenfeld, a professor at the Yale School of Management. Some business leaders made donations to humanitarian organizations and pointed their employees to company-sponsored mental health resources. The smaller number said they also communicated to their staff about the rising death toll of civilians in Gaza. Adding to the complexities that executives are weighing, many American companies have financial ties to Israel but few have business interests to consider in Gaza, Mr. Sonnenfeld noted. No company does business in Gaza as opposed to, say, in Russia, where there are 1,500 major companies doing business, he said, comparing this war with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. It's zero in Gaza. Still, there is clear pressure to say something, partly because of the precedent set over the last several years, when many executives established a pattern of weighing in on social and political upheaval. In a morning consult poll of more than 2,000 Americans, conducted in mid-October, 58% said businesses should make a statement condemning violence and loss of life resulting from Hamas's attacks, and 62% said companies should make humanitarian donations. It's unlike any other topic I've seen in a decade of advising companies on these themes, said Joel Emerson, founder of Paradigm, a firm that has worked with more than 1,000 companies on diversity, equity and inclusion. A lot of companies might not feel they have the context to comment intelligently on what's happening. Even as the pressure for companies to comment on social issues accelerates, reasons for them to be reticent are also increasingly clear. Andrew Ward, a management professor at Lehigh University's College of Business, noted that chief executives who were politically vocal sometimes drew negative attention to their businesses, which could affect workers. There are also financial considerations to weighing in. Gabe Zipperman, who runs workshops for companies on discussing contentious issues, said the protest against Bud Light this year after it hired a transgender influencer was a watershed moment in corporate activism. He added, the boycott was able to really impact the company's earnings very quickly. That's steering people toward public neutrality. A handful of executives who condemned Hamas's violence did so immediately and forcefully. David Solomon, chief executive of Goldman Sachs, wrote to his staff in Tel Aviv on October 8, the day after the attack. The dynamics in the Middle East have always been difficult and complex, he wrote. But these attacks are terrorism and violate our most fundamental of values. At Warner Brothers Discovery, David Zaslav, the chief executive, told his staff that he was shocked and saddened by the attacks, which he cited as the deadliest in Jewish history since the Holocaust. J.P. Morgan Chase's statement called the war a terrible tragedy. David Barrett, who runs the software company Expensive Fees, which has roughly 140 employees, explained that before he issued an internal response to the war, He called meetings for his human resources leaders to discuss the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and review its historical and geopolitical context. "We're not historians," Mr. Barrett said. "A lot of us didn't understand the issue very well, didn't understand the history, didn't understand the kind of impact it was having on people." Image: David Barrett of Expensive Seas. Credit: Amanda Luthier. For the New York Times, Mr. Barrett said he felt more confident in responding to the conflict, which he did by internally condemning Hamas's attacks and discussing the violence that people in Gaza were experiencing because of the many times he and his company had addressed complicated social issues. "We've had political upheaval, the war in Russia, Roe v. Wade, COVID," he said. "But across many American workplaces, employees have looked to their executives for compassionate responses to the war and felt dismayed." Michael Pence, a public defender in Los Angeles, waited for the Los Angeles County Public Defender's Office to release a statement mourning lives lost in the conflict. He recalled how his boss had rushed to address other social issues, such as last year's leaked audio of racist remarks from Los Angeles City Council members. Mr. Pence and his fellow Jewish colleagues visited one another's offices to vent the pain they've felt about their department's silence. Mr. Pence wrote to his department head, Ricardo Garcia, on November 2, "I've been waiting, with all the measured patience my broken heart can manage," he wrote in an email. "I know that some have advised you that it is best to steer clear of comment. Sometimes that is an option." Shortly after, Mr. Garcia released the taped statement, "Please don't mistake my silence until now as indifference," he said, in a recording obtained by the New York Times. "My heart has been heavy. I've been sad as I experience this with all of you, and I feel what's going on inside the office." Mr. Garcia said in a statement to the Times that his office had not been immune to the strong feelings and differing allegiances brought out by the war. As business leaders grapple with their responses to the war, some are also facing an uptick of employee reports of harassment and discrimination, particularly of anti-Semitism, said Lisa Banks, founding partner of the employment law firm Katz Banks Cumin. There has also been an increase in anti-Muslim incidents in American workplaces since the war broke out, according to the Council on American-Islamic Relations. The organization received 774 requests for assistance and reports of anti-Muslim incidents from October 7 to October 24. A 245% increase from the average for a similar period in 2022. At a New Jersey branch of the cosmetics store Ulta, for example, a Muslim employee said a colleague had threatened to lynch her, according to the council's New Jersey chapter. At a hospital in Maryland, a Muslim doctor was temporarily removed from her rotation when a supervisor said she was uncomfortable with the physician's hijab and dress, which were red, green and black, like the Palestinian flag. The professional consequences that some institutional leaders have faced for their comments about the war underscore the stakes of the discussion. Dr. Benjamin Neal, the director of the Perlmutter Cancer Center at NYU Langone Health, was suspended over messages on social media that many complained were anti-Palestinian. That was shortly after a physician at NYU Langone's Long Island Hospital was suspended over Instagram reposts that referred to Hamas's October 7 attacks as liberation. NYU Langone did not respond to requests for comment. It is a travesty that after a stellar career fighting the battle against cancer that a long-tenured and world-renowned research scientist can be unceremoniously dumped based on tweets, said Milton Williams, a lawyer for Dr. Neal. Still, some business leaders have said that in responding to the war they had been able to engage in constructive conversations with employees who held various political views. Patrick Kinzel, chief executive of the tech company Notarize, which has roughly 250 employees in the United States, put out several statements over email and Slack about the war and rising threats of anti-Semitism around the globe, including one on October 13 that read, "To my Jews, love you." Several Muslim employees reached out to Mr. Kinzel to say their communities were also suffering. He has since put statements on Slack acknowledging the many killed in Gaza because of the war. "It's been a very healthy dialogue," Mr. Kinzel said. And to Mr. Kinzel, his efforts to keep addressing the conflict are important to the business itself. "It's been proven that diverse communities are more successful," he explained. "It's not only about an aspiration. It's literally in our self-interest." Emma Goldberg is a business reporter covering workplace culture and the ways work is evolving in a time of social and technological change. More about Emma Goldberg: share full article.